Good morning. Welcome to Forgers Tarot's essay teleconference about Q3 results 2017. All participants are in a listen-only mode. We'll have a Q&A session. You can submit your questions in writing using the online platform. Any forward-looking statement are based on market projections, are all based on beliefs of the company's executive team, based on current available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to the future. Therefore, they depend on things that may or may not occur. Investors must understand that economic conditions may affect future operational results that may differ from the following considerations. This teleconference is being recorded and will be available at the company's IR website. The meeting will be conducted by Mr. Tiago Piovesan, the VP Financial and RI Director of the company. I now give the floor to Mr. Tiago Piovesan for his initial remarks. You may have the floor now, Mr. Piovesan. Good afternoon. Thank you for attending our quarterly web conference. This is a digital-only format. All participants may submit questions in writing using this online platform. Questions may be submitted during the presentation. And at the end of this conference, we'll answer all of them. Let's follow the presentation available on our website. Let me start at slide 4. We have the highlights for Q3. We have gone through several major changes, especially because of the American market, our number one market. That accounts for about 80% of our production before recent demand changes. As I had indicated in the previous quarter, this demand is substantially smaller than what we were experienced up until 2016. That poses a major challenge vis-a-vis the demand in a standardized scenario. All announcements are players in the marketplace, American players among others. They point out the change in the behavior of the whole marketplace. There have been several adjustments in this quarter trying to adapt the company to the new production levels with a new cost structure to face this reality. Because the entire marketplace had been at a production level that raised inventory levels in Q2. So Q3, we had a privilege of cash generation, so that's why we have above average discount rates. I think we're all aligned, but let me take a step back and to explain this normalization of the American market, as we put it, removing the restrictions threat that started out when Donald Trump was elected president. So the fear of greater controls was therefore removed as to purchasing and having access to guns in the country based on those threats that were often discussed under the Obama administration. And that threat continued or would continue had Hillary Clinton won the election. And that's what all industries use, the NEETS curve, the NICS curve. Since we had that political change earlier this year, the first quarter was dedicated to deliveries, basically, of agreed or back orders in late 2016. As of Q2, we had that clear indication of that slowdown in production that hit hard on Q3. Distributors try to adjust their inventory levels to bring them down to more appropriate levels because they were heavily stocked earlier this year. And at the same time, the industry is coming through a slowdown in production levels, trying to adapt to that demand. However, the inventory levels were higher. And in order to privilege cash, they move that production to the market at discounted prices. So that's what has been happening. That made companies forced, or that forced companies to adjust their inventory levels and also their production volumes so that they wouldn't run into the same problems, the same bubble in the following months. The NICS, the index I have just mentioned, allows us to see that clearly. This index captures the intention of weapons purchases on the part of American citizens. So this is very close to the marketplace. In Q2, we had already detected a 15.6% decrease when compared to the first quarter. And Q3, again, it's down one more time when compared to Q2. That was 5.4%, bringing that reduction to Q2. Being more financially exposed than other players, this indication of a more competitive market and more reduced margins, working on promotions and volumes of sales going down too, that's about 25% to 30% smaller volumes than those of last year. So there were more margin pressures on our operations. So the company had to work harder to privilege cash, selling inventory, as I said, and readjusting production to this new level. We can see that throughout the presentation, but at the bottom of the slide, you can see that our gross margin, when compared to the previous quarter, is down 10%, a result of those factors I have mentioned. Consolidated sales amounted to $211 million. That's a 16.3% improvement when compared to Q2, but a 5.3% drop when compared to the same quarter last year. In the U.S. market, net revenue amounted to 142.7 million reals for the quarter, 8.8% above the previous quarter. That growth reflects the company's efforts in cash generation. So that's why we have smaller margins to sell inventory and production of the first semester above the market needed. When compared to Q3 2016, net revenue dropped 4.8% in the U.S. market. The positive note is exports to other countries. That, again, a result of our efforts to develop new products. These exports amounted to 15.8 million reals in this quarter, indicating an 88% increase when compared to the previous quarter and 75% increase when compared to the same quarter in 2016. So this is a positive result of our strategy. That's the beginning of production and delivery of our Hammer pistol to Asia. And there are some effects of these new products we have been introducing to the marketplace. On top of Hammer, that contributed to this new growth, we have the new rifle T4. It's already in production, and the first shipments are scheduled for Q4. We're already manufacturing it. It will also help us boost exports to those markets. Another highlight was domestic sales. They amounted to 24 million reals, a 60% increase when compared to Q2. That's the result of a seasonal recovery of sales in our market, governmental and institutional sales. Their performance is usually better at the time of this year, but also in the civil market. The results are positive in that area. That's why we have this important growth when compared to the previous quarter. When compared to 2016, sales are 28.5% lower, reflecting the economic turmoil we're going through. And there are some restrictions on government budgets and difficulties, economic difficulties overall for the government. Consolidated gross margin was 10 percentage points down when compared to Q2, and the entire period was 16%. That drop is the result of a smaller volume in the U.S. market, a smaller number of units sold, and more aggressive discounts in prices practiced by the entire industry given the higher inventory levels, as I mentioned before. So our company had to follow suit given its cash difficulties. From now on, we're going to readapt our production to try to reduce that impact and to cause the least possible impact on cost dilution for the company. It's a cruise ship, and taking turns takes time before you see any favorable response in our cost structure. So we're still adapting cost. Many things have already been done, and these results for this quarter indicate that, but we have a long way to go to change and to have a more efficient structure and to bring our production levels down. As far as cash generation goes, measured by EBITDA, in Q3, we had negative result of 24.9 million reals when compared to negative 4.7 million for Q2 and 20.5 for Q3 2016. Again, this is a result of our efforts to readapt to the new market conditions. On top of operational margins, I've been talking about the behavior of sales and costs, given the dilution of costs in production. The EBITDA for the quarter was also impacted by higher civil labor provisions. They accounted for 11.7 million reals. It's an important component of our cost, and that's why we highlighted in this slide. In the past three quarters, these are substantial amounts that impact the company results, therefore. In Q2, that was 6.6 million, and Q1, 5.6 million. This is because of the operational restructuring that, of course, has to do with these provisions. Starting transferring the plant from Porto Alegre to São Leopoldo, these changes generated several lawsuits. And also the labor reform, our legislation is being changed. So new lawsuits have been filed to take advantage of the previous legislation. Nonetheless, the company has worked diligently to protect itself from the media campaigns. And this is our constant concern to fight back. As you may have seen, the company is being attacked because of the products we produce. The domestic market has smaller volume, but the company and its products are under attack by the media. So we're trying to, the cost to protect ourselves to face this hostile environment generates costs that are substantial and an important financial moment for the company. And of course, this is becoming more and more relevant to our results. So it's important to point that out. This has taken a lot of our efforts and a lot of money. Also, moving on to slide 6. This is the net revenue and net revenue by segment. Farms accounted for 182 million reals in Q3, 18% above Q2, and gross margin was 12.6, 12 percentage points below the previous quarter. Again, given the competitive issues in the American market. In the year, sales improved 3.9%, gross margin 21.5%. When compared to the same period, it's 1.9, almost 2 percentage points below our gross margin. Helmets, on the other hand, has to do with the economy. It's basically focused in the domestic market. 24.5 million reals in revenue, a 7% increase when compared to the previous quarter. Gross margin, 31.8%, 3 percentage points above Q2. When you take the entire year, however, the continuous growth for helmets, as we have seen, the entire year is 21.6% below the previous year, a 30.4, almost 4 percentage points below last year's margin. Despite its growth, its operation has been suffering because of the economic turmoil in our country. And others, it's important to mention them. It involves plastic products and metal injection molding. 4.1 million reals in net revenue for the quarter, a 2.5% growth when compared to Q2. It's almost stable. And accrued in the year, there's a reduction when compared to last year. Almost 15 million reals in sales, 16% below the same period last year. Slide number 7 now. This is net revenue for firearms only, broken down by market. And we are breaking that down, sales to other countries, as I said before, Asia and Oceania, Australia, account for 6.7 million reals in net revenue. That's basically because of Hammer, the new firearm. This is a very important market for the company, and when we introduce new products to our portfolio, there are several other options on the table. The rifle in Q4 will be helping us in the short term. But when compared to other markets, of course, they account for a smaller portion, and it cannot offset the drop in the American market. But it helps us in covering all the bases and having a more balanced outlook. On to slide 8 now, SG&A and EBITDA. These are operational expenses, 67.3 million reals. It's a 10% improvement when compared to the previous quarter. Recurring expenses are not going up. This is just a reflection of higher volumes for provisions, 11.7 million. That's almost twice as much as what we had before. So that's the reason behind that increase. And of course, there's some costs related to restructuring and the adjustment of productions to meet current volume needs. So if we were to exclude these items, that would be 3.7% less than Q2. In the year, these operational expenses would amount to 188.9 million, 17.6 smaller than the expenses we had in the previous year. To summarize what I have just commented on, net revenue without the effects of the provisions, the SG&A ratio was 27.3% for the year, 7 percentage points below what we had in 2016, so almost 34.4%. That was the ratio. Again, that proportional contraction of expenses is the result of the adjustments we're going through to meet the new demands from the American market. We're now revisiting every admin process. New controls, new adjustments are being made to cut down on costs. This is a more complex exercise on the short term, given the cash restriction. Let me now talk about cash measured by EBITDA. I just would like to point out the accrued for the year. The consolidated EBITDA, given the quarter results, but the year, we had a negative 23.3 million reals when compared to 44.9 million. The current quarter, Q3, gives us the consolidated number for the year. Moving on to slide number 9. Financial results and net income. Financial results for the Q for was 3.8 million. When compared to Q2 was negative 62.8. And has to do with the exchange rate, because this is a very sensitive issue given the currency volatility, because our debt is based on the US dollar. For the Q3, the exchange variation was positive 25.6 million, helping us with the negative result in Q2 that had been 28.1 million. This positive result in Q3 is the difference in exchange rate between September and June. that depreciation was over 4% in this period. As to the net income, losses amounted to 18.5 million reals. Losses amounted to 25.5 in Q2. In the 9 months of the year, we have accrued a 50.4 million reals when compared to 44 million losses in the same 9 months of last year. Our 50 million in losses this year are the result of the financial results, that is 65 million of negative results. On to slide 10. This is the company's debt. In September 2017, at the end of Q3, our gross debt was 718.7, 162.5 short term, and 556 long term. When the main debt is maturing as early as 2018, we are now reclassifying part of our long-term debt to short-term debt. The short-term assessments was an increase of 28%. Long-term was reduced by 8.5% given this impact. As to June 17, the previous quarter, total debt reduced by 2.2%. That was because of the dollar depreciation of about 85% of the company's debt is pegged to the U.S. dollar. Slower performance in the U.S. also impacted availability. 9.3 million, 41.5% below the 15.9 seen in June. The net debt is 1.3% below when compared to June. We are at 709.4 million real when compared to 718.7 of the previous quarter. On to slide 11, working capital needed for the Q3, the working capital needed is down almost 20 million reals when compared to the previous quarter, when we have 189 million. The net revenue brings us 23% of the previous, or the past 12 months. It's 2% down when compared to the same indicator in Q2. Let me explain why it's down. And you can see on the table on the right, it's impacted by the number of inventories. Despite sales prices were smaller, but that's why we have more sales in that case. And suppliers. That has to do with negotiations we had with these suppliers. You have positive results in cash flow when you normalize it for the entire operation. It goes back to historical trends than what we are witnessing right now. Finally, on to slide 12, cash flow. This is our major challenge because of the market and the dynamics of the marketplace and things we have to do very quickly. Cash generated was positive, 7.8 million reals. They were used in 900,000, almost a million reals, for investment purposes, CapEx, basically. They are focused on new products. That's the company's priority. and $11.8 million was consumed in financing activities to service our debt and some debt paid in that period. Cash was $4.9 million for the quarter compared to a net consumption of $11.3 million in the previous quarter. It's a 41.9% reduction, $6.8 million. For the entire year, cash consumption amounts to $20 million compared to almost $37 million in the same period of 2016. In cash management, we have always been transparent with investors, banks, suppliers. We are concentrating almost all our efforts here. We have to overcome challenges here in the cash generation to introduce new products and to develop new markets as well. And we can see that despite the negative environmental conditions, we are always concentrating our efforts here. And our homework is being taken care of, reducing expenses. And in recent months, you can already see a very small SG&A, and we're still looking for further synergies to have more efficiency, not only SG&A and our EBITDA. But let me go back to the topic I've discussed, the attacks the company has been going through. The media has been talking about old facts, and they have been distorting the facts. We know several expert reports indicated that there aren't any design flaws that have been pointed out by the media. We have vast amount of information. Our customers are being well serviced. They have no complaints whatsoever. So we cannot blame a Brazilian company that is 77 years old. We're celebrating our 78th anniversary this week. We have a prominent position domestically and abroad. We're very competitive in the U.S. market. We have always met the requirements of government officials, and we shouldn't be held liable. The most competitive market, which is the American market, there are no questions whatsoever. There are no attacks that can be compared to the flak we get here in Brazil. And of course, we have always been respectful with the media and everyone involved. We don't want to distort any facts on our part as well. I just would like to say to investors, partners, shareholders that are attending this meeting, Taurus has always been committed to helping with the security, to being transparent in all we do, and this is a non-negotiable item. We're always trying to help because we have acquired and we have hard-earned trust from our consumers. We remain strong and resilient to provide top quality products to the marketplace. And we will spare no effort to make these goals achievable. So this concludes the first part of our meeting. Thank you for attending. We can now move on to the Q&A session. Let me just point out before, questions must be submitted through the digital platform so that it can be read and then answered. Thank you. We now start the Q&A session. Feel free to submit new questions. You can submit your questions using the digital platform. This concludes the Q&A session. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Piovesan one more time for his final remarks. Thank you for attending this teleconference. We all know the challenges we have ahead of us, not only those that we had mapped out, but also those presented via the marketplace, and we have to deal with them. And we do that with a lot of inspiration, with a lot of energy. We know we are capable to overcome all of them, and we are confident that we'll be able to face them. I would like to thank all our customers, all our suppliers, all our financial institutions, all partners, workers, shareholders, the entire marketplace that have made that journey with us. Our IR department is available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you. Thank you very much for attending this teleconference. Thank you for attending. Good afternoon.